Would you join me in the Gospel of John? We'll look into the scripture before we pray tonight and encourage our hearts, I hope. We're in John chapter 14. Your Bible may indicate that this is the farewell discourse, that these next several chapters, and then finally the high priestly prayer of chapter 17, are his farewell address to his disciples. And in this gospel, we have several statements of what the disciples can expect. And our Lord is promising them some blessing, even though he is leaving. Now, this begins to upset them and distress them. They don't know what they're going to do without him. They don't know what it means to be a follower of Christ if Christ is not there. He has been their teacher. He has been their discipler. And they have merely been followers. And now he's saying that he is about to go to the Father. Well, what does that mean then? Are we breaking up the band? Are we going to disband this club? What does it mean? And our Lord, to these next three chapters, says, I'm going to come to you in a different way than I've been with you. And I'm going to come to you through the Spirit of God. And as he begins to say these things to them, we have a picture still before us of what it means for the Lord to be with and come to his people. I thought we'd look at these things for the next few weeks at least. Taking the outline that F.F. Bruce suggests, we have the first instance that we'll look at tonight in John chapter 14 of the coming of the Spirit described to us as a helper. The next one, also in this chapter, he is the interpreter. In the 15th chapter, he is the witness. In the 16th chapter, he is the prosecutor. Interesting, isn't it? He will convict the world, Jesus said. When he comes to you, he will convict the world, and I can hardly wait to get to that. But I've got a bit of time before we get there. And then he will reveal. He is the revealer. As he closes this in the 16th chapter, this little section that the Spirit of God reveals to us things that we need to know. All right, well, this is the thought. So our place is John chapter 14, and we'll start reading with verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Comforting thoughts, aren't they? Well, he says that I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. If you have a marginal reading there, you'll find that there's the word is parakletos. You've heard this word, the paraclete. You've heard this over Christian pulpits all your experience, right? A helper, an advocate, one who's called along beside you. Think of the guy who's being grilled. Where were you the night of the 14th? And what were you doing in such place? And he finally says, I'd like to have my lawyer here. I don't have to answer any more questions until my lawyer's present. That's a paraclete. That's one called along beside you. And he gives you counsel. He helps you. He says, you don't have to answer that. You do have to answer this. And he advises you. And this is the kind of intimate help that Jesus is describing. And I like the thought. He says, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper. What does he mean by another helper? It just means that he has been helping them. All their experience, they have had a helper. And if you think about that for a moment and start trying to sort of mentally run through the life of Christ that's for us in the Gospels, you see, these guys really did have help, didn't they? Jesus was there in their time of need. They had thousands of people out there. Then the Lord says, well, give them something to eat. And we don't have anything. Well, what do you have? Well, I got a couple of fish and five little loaves. have them sit down, and then the Lord begins to break. And as he divides, he multiplies. And so everybody's full, and they've got 12 baskets left over. And he helped them. He helped them in their time of danger. When they're crossing the sea, and the sea was starting to get in the boat, and finally they wake Jesus up, and he rebukes the wind. You try that next time we have a hurricane come through. He rebukes the wind, he rebukes the sea, and everything's just dead calm. And they say, who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him. He helped them when they were confused. They got into this discussion, well, who's the greatest among us anyway? And Jesus says, no, you don't sing it right. Look, he called this little child and he set him down and says, now this is what you should pattern yourselves after. The greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. And you become like little children. And he helped them to see that. He helped them when they were ignorant. Lord, explain to us the parable. We don't get it. You don't get the parable. No, sir. And he explained it to them. And it like breaking open a nut and just breaking the hard shell off. And all of a sudden, there it is. He helped them with that. He helped them in their hour of temptation. I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. He helped them understand the Father. He helped them want to pray. He helped them overcome the evil one. He helped them at the very presence and face of the grave. He helped them lay everything down, and he helped them become disciples. We've left everything and followed you. Now that's help. And then he says to them in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What a sweet thought. The help that they've had, all the help that they've known, of course it will take a slightly different form, but it will be going along those same lines, won't it? The Spirit of God was going to come to them and witness to and be in their midst as Christ among them. And he was going to help them in their time of need, help them in their times of danger. He was going to help them when they're confused and ignorant, in temptation, and on and on and on. Another helper. But look at what he says. In another place, and it's coming up, if we get to do this, and we'll uncover this, but he says, it's to your advantage that I go away. And they're thinking, I don't see that at all. Do you see that? It's to your advantage that I go away. How can that be so? Well, because of what he goes on to say. This is the end of verse 16. The Father will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Now that's a sweet thought. He will be with us forever. What does that mean? That means the church is not comfortless. If it were to go on to 10,000 years, he would be with his people. It means in our darkest moments, he is there. It means in our best moments, he is there. In the hour of temptation, he is there. We read the story of a dear old, what was his name? He lived at the ripe old age of 86. Do you remember that? A million years ago. Not a million. In the first century. Jeff, do you remember? Give me more. I wish I could get more of it out. He lived there in Smyrna. Anyway, it's in one of those tapes back there. I could call his name back then. He lived at the age of 86. And they called him onto the carpet. And they said, you've got to deny Christ and you've got to burn incense to the emperor's image. He says, no. How can I do that? He has been with me. He's blessed me and been good to me for all these years. 86 years I've served him. How? And he became a martyr. Now the point of all this, if we can get past who he was, is because he really did exist. And his name will come to me after we all go home. But the point is, all that time he served the Lord. What? I can't either.
Maybe he's saying it, though.
You'll verify that I said it.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
John's disciple.
Yes. 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 I'm sorry. I'm sorry, and this just popped into my head. It didn't pop all the way into the head, evidently. I should get rid of things that don't fully pop. What we're trying to say about this is he served the Lord successfully for all those decades. And then he comes right down to the end, and the critical moment is upon him. Now, did the Lord leave him right there? That's the question. And I don't think so. I think when Paul served the Lord all those wonderful years in that mission movement, the very first one, and he comes up to Jerusalem and they nab that guy and they're about to beat him to death. Well, the Lord stops that, but he ends up in prison for at least 2 years down in Caesarea. And he says to the men that he finally gets to stand before, God has helped me. God has helped me. I've had help from God up to this point. What are these men saying? Whether they're confronting the fellows that have power over them, you might say, or the guys that really are about to put their life to an end, they have help from God to do whatever God calls them to do. He will be with you forever. Good times, bad times, lean times, rich times, he will be with you. The Lord's saying of this helper, he is going to abide in your midst, and he is going to be with you forever. Now, what else does he say about him? When he says, I will not leave you as orphans, he says, the one who is coming is the, verse 17, the Spirit of Truth. Glorious, glorious. Does that mean what some might want you to think that it means, that you need never worry again, that you need never read your Bible, that you need never think, that you need never pray because, well, we've got the Spirit of Truth? No, it just means he will help us, and he's going to help us this way. He will bear witness to the truth. We will hear things. And it's almost like tasting your daily bread, and you get the scent and you get the taste and you run it around, and it's like that in your heart or your spirit. You hear things and you think, is that right? And then there'll be something inside you that bears witness and says, yes. Or, wait, just don't jump off the deep end with that one. Just hold it. It's the Spirit of Truth who is bearing witness to the truth. Things that we hear, things that we see, things that we read. We punch on the radio to listen to Christian radio. Just be careful, because there's all kind of stuff out there. Well, you'll be listening to things, and your spirit will leap within you, or else you may just come out with a sigh, like, oh, really, did he say that? Or sometimes just a big question mark. I don't know. But you are in all of these situations, you're having help. It's the sort of thing you need to follow up and say, Lord, speak to me about this. What do you think about that thing? This teaching that we heard, this sermon that was given, this book that I just finished. What do you think about this, Lord? We don't have to get hard and cynical and unbelieving and utterly critical about this. I mean, that was happening over there in Ephesus. And they got to where it was getting the better of them. But laboring together with him, you'll find that there are churches like Smyrna or like Philadelphia, which is coming up, and the Lord has nothing bad to say. They were working with the Spirit. He was speaking to them. They were receiving the truth. They were testing things and proving things, and discovering God was helping them. And finally, in verse 17, he says, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you. And they had been blessed by that, but there's something else coming. he will be in you. What does that mean? Oh, what that means is you turn to the second chapter of Acts and you find what that means. The Spirit of God in them as well as upon them. He is with them and he's really with them and he's upon them. He's really upon them and he's in them. And that just means the glory is not just external, it's internal. The presence is not just someone you can throw your arm around or he around you. It's something more personal, more intimate than even that. Now, I like a friend's arm around my shoulder as much as you do, but someone to hold your spirit, to whisper in your heart, when your friend's gone to his bed and you've gone to your bed and your pillow is getting wet with tears, because there's no one there, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, yes, there is. There is someone there. There is someone with you. Someone who hears the sigh. Someone who counts and catches those tears. Someone who is in you. I think this is... I don't know how many other religions try to boast of this, but we have this glorious boast. God in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Spirit of God among you, but now in you. And again, we say, well, we have to find out the results of what this means to the church, because we've sort of been assigning ourselves that task. What's it like? Again, the second chapter of Acts, it's just like that. It's liberty, it's boldness, it's clarity, it's freedom, it's power. Oh, it's wonder. Well, may God give it us to know him that way. And if we can't remember anyone's name in the future, how do you forget a name like that? Polycarp. Lots of carps. I'll remember that. Well, if you can't remember Polycarp, maybe you can remember this. God with us. Jesus Christ among his people, coming to us, leaving us not as orphans, visiting us in the person of his Spirit, making the things of God crystal clear to us and wonderfully personal. All right, let's pray.